Blog Talk Radio.
This is a private officer beat radio with Rick McCann at the microphone.
Happy Monday morning, everyone. October the 2nd, 2023. Yep, another month. And we've got a lot to talk about in this new month. We've got weather, stormy weather, that's affecting our private officers and public officers alike. We have some violence, including two murders of security officers this past week, and a number of others who were injured and shot, one stabbed, and so much more that we really need to talk about today. I'll tell you right off the top of the show here that our subject matter today is pretty important as well. And we're talking about, are you ready? Are you ready? As we look across the country in every state, and especially in the metropolitan areas, everyone from businesses to schools to churches to residential communities, business associations, and even law enforcement themselves are turning to private security and private law enforcement. We've been talking about this for at least 3 or 4 years now, but it really has been coming on for quite some time, much longer than a few years. It has been escalating, I would say, over the last six, seven, eight years, and definitely since the Minnesota riots and the nationwide protests and riots. Nobody wants to be in law enforcement, and we're seeing that also bleed over into private security now more than ever. Many people don't want to put a uniform on. The military also having an extensive problem recruiting. We're still a volunteer military, but I believe, as I've been saying for quite a while now, that will probably change if people don't want to volunteer to serve their country and protect their country. Then what's going to happen is they'll begin to draft them. And I know many people back during the days of Vietnam refused. Some were charged with federal crimes. Many protested, and that may even be recreated if we go back to a draft. But today we're going to talk about, are you ready? Because everyone, every business, residential community, and so on and so forth, needs security and law enforcement. And if law enforcement is not there, then they have to turn to something similar, which is the private security industry. And as I've mentioned also over the last few years, no time in my many years on this earth do I remember when so many people were calling private security companies, and not just physical security companies, but they're also calling electronic security companies to install cameras or more cameras. If not physical security, they at least are going to have some type of electronic surveillance, motion sensors, more lighting is being put up. Talk to somebody in the lighting business, and yeah, more and more companies are lighting up their business like Christmas trees at night. Maybe that will, you know, eliminate some of the crimes in their area or on their property. But this is definitely a big time for private security, and I just don't know if we're really ready altogether. And there are many law enforcement agencies that are hiring civilians to patrol, to be community service officers. There are a number of states that have private police officers. We've talked about this as well over the years. Well, today we're going to talk about how all of these things come together to form a new level of law enforcement, but I don't know if we're all ready to do this. I really don't. I just read something over the weekend that was pretty shocking. Many people are familiar with the NYPD school safety agent. They're not law enforcement. They have no arrest authority, and they're not armed. But, and this really surprised me, I knew that they had an academy. I knew that all of their school safety officers, agents, go through rigorous training, similar to an NYPD recruit. But I didn't know that they went through 17 weeks, not 17 days, 17 hours, 17 weeks, 40 hours a week times 17. I think that's like 680 hours. That's a police academy in many jurisdictions. In fact, there are jurisdictions that have less than 500 hours. The average is between 500 and 600 for a police recruit. But to have a unarmed civilian, but employee by the NYPD, of course, go through a 17-week academy, I think it's great. But the reason why I was reading that article was the person that was interviewed by the New York paper was trying to get people to donate to his GoFundMe page because he's responsible for paying the academy, and he's responsible for paying for some of his uniforms and some of his equipment. And he just said he couldn't do it on the wages. He actually quit a job as a correction officer to take this position because he thought it was a foot in the door to being an NYPD police officer, and I agree with that. So here we have somebody who's committed, devoted, on track, focused. He wants to be a police officer, and he's willing to spend his own money to get certified as a school security officer, buy his own equipment and uniform. Even though there's a stipend, there's still quite a bit of stuff that has to be paid for personally. There are thousands. At one time, there was over 5,000 school safety agents in New York City and the five boroughs. Now, I think it's around 3,000 and maybe a little bit higher. I know in the last couple of years, they went back through a hiring process. And, you know, this is after many police departments took their officers out of schools. SROs were taken out because of, you know, bad publicity and the riots and so forth. Well, many are restaffing those positions around the U.S., and I thought this was very admirable to this person, and if you find his GoFundMe page, I highly recommend and encourage you to donate to him, because these are the kind of people that we want in law enforcement. These are the kind of employees I want at my business, those who take initiative, those who's willing to pay the price, whatever it might be, even if it's means, you know, eating McDonald's every day or fasting to pay for what it is that they want. I wish I had about 10 or 15 of him. And, yeah, donate if you find this page. We're going to be talking about how many electronic devices, private policing, private security, civilians. I'm even going to tell you about a police department that recently started, this is a large police department, by the way, recently started a reserve police unit, the first in the history of their police department, and they're not alone. We're going to take a quick break, but when I come back, we definitely have a lot more to share with you, and I think you're going to see how, if you're in private security, especially, you know, if you're a supervisor or a manager or you want to start your own business, now is definitely the time. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector. This is a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code,
817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Tonight we're hearing from a private security group that's seen an increase in business. Good evening, everyone. I'm Rod Carter.
I'm Angela Taylor. Thanks for being here. This follows recent public safety concerns expressed by several downtown Raleigh business owners. CBS 17's Mariah Ellis is live after speaking with the CEO of that security firm, hoping to create a safer downtown.
Yeah, we spoke with the CEO and president of Renfro Group, and he says they're really trying to make an effort patrolling in certain areas, watching out for certain activity, and really just trying to make a presence downtown. He said this is something that many businesses wanted to see more of.
Multiple downtown Raleigh businesses say they're taking matters in their own hands.
It's always been a thing downtown, but I would say in the last 6 months, it's gotten worse.
Business owners like Carrie Kidd saying lingering issues of vandalism, harassment, and mental health issues are creating a public safety concern. After expressing some of these concerns to city leaders during a Tuesday meeting and questions about response times as Raleigh police work to fill 91 officer vacancies, some businesses felt relief, noting a larger police presence downtown Thursday. However, we also heard from the CEO of Renfro Group, a private investigation, security, and patrol firm that has seen a recent 50% jump in business with new clients, including area hotels, shops, and restaurants.
Over the last 6 months, I'm going to say we've seen an increase. Personally, myself, as I walk around downtown, I see it every day. I see, drug deals going on. I see, mental health crisis happening. Law enforcement needs help. We're here to, to back them 100%.
The security firm says that they still rely on law enforcement. They said that their guards go through similar training just as our Raleigh police. However, they said they really depend on those officers to show up in certain situations, especially making arrests.
81-year-old Ed Mead was working a job that he really loved. He might not have needed the money, but he said he loved working where he was at and being able to see and talk to people. But all of that came to an end in Hernando County, Florida on Friday night at the High Point Community when he was murdered by a punk. 23-year-old Jeremy Jason Patterson came to the property and something happened between him and 81-year-old security officer Ed Mead. It actually happened on Thursday night, but police made the arrest of the suspect on Friday. Police don't really have all the details yet. What we do know is that a violent murder happened of this very elderly person just trying to do his job. They said that at the front of the property, at the little security guard shack there, there are flowers, there are teddy bears, and then there's caution tape, police crime scene tape. Many who was interviewed and those that weren't even interviewed but wanted to say their piece on social media said he was a dear man. He leaves behind a wife and three daughters. How could anybody, for any reason, slaughter an 81-year-old man. For what reason? Obviously, he poses little to no threat to anyone. I don't understand how people can kill other people unless it's self-defense, which obviously that was not the case. Ed Meade had lived a full life, but that was no reason to make the decision for him that Thursday would be his last day on earth. I'm going to do everything I can to contact the district attorney, law enforcement, and make sure that this 23-year-old punk, Jeremy Jason Patterson, gets life, because not many states still have the death penalty. I don't know if Florida does, but I believe that it probably needs to come back. I am saddened when I see any law enforcement, security officer, public safety officer, or person trying to do the right thing. I was just told that Florida still has the death penalty. That's good to know. Join us in writing the district attorney at Hernando County DA and contacting the homicide detectives at Hernando County Sheriff's Office and tell them you want justice for 81-year-old Ed Meade and his family that he's leaving behind. It's a tragedy. And I just, every year at least one 80 or 75 or even 90-year-old security officer has been murdered in the line of duty. Just trying to do a job, just trying to protect others, not thinking of themselves. Another security officer was killed as well. This was in Pennsylvania. We don't have a lot of details. If it comes in before the radio show is over, I'll bring it to you. Also this past week, three men were found guilty in three separate security officer homicides. A murder suspect was found guilty of killing a Washington, D.C. armed security officer, which makes him a special police officer. He was charged with second-degree murder, but he was found guilty of manslaughter. We brought you a few days ago the news alert that a federal jury also convicted Robert Alvin Justice Jr. of aiding and abetting the murder of Protective Service Officer Dave Patrick Underwood and aiding and abetting the attempted murder of a second PSO in May of 2020 during a drive-by shooting at the federal building in Oakland, California. Underwood was shot to death while standing outside that courthouse while rioting and protests were occurring in nearby areas. Some speculated after shooting that the suspect may have thought he was a police officer. But nonetheless, as we say all the time, anyone wearing a uniform, especially that of authority, can easily become a victim. A 26-year-old man this week was also found guilty of murder of a 23-year-old security officer during a carjacking in Maryland. During the trial, which wrapped up with a verdict on Tuesday of last week, Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Kim maintained that the killing was premeditated, that Desmond Maba, 26, had watched the security officer for quite some time before killing him. In fact, evidence shows the suspect left his home, took a bus, and went to an apartment complex in Riverdale Park, Maryland. That's in Prince George County. And then watched the security officer working, sitting in his vehicle, and then pounced on him, killed him, and carjacked him. Prosecutors say it was an ambush murder. It was nothing short of premeditation. He shot the security officer in the face and the head, killing him, and then stole the vehicle. The suspect will be sentenced later in the next few weeks. The security officer died when he arrived at the hospital. We brought you similar information about several other homicides last week and the week before. There's been at least a half a dozen trials just in recent months of homicides of security officers, and thank God that they were all found guilty. If you don't think that working in private security, private law enforcement, is as dangerous these days as driving a police car or walking a police beat, you got a different thought coming, because I can tell you firsthand, in my own experience, just in the last 13 to 15 months, I've had to pull my weapon a number of times and threatened to pull it a number more. And I know of others in the security business who have had deadly force incidents. And it's going to get worse. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector, the Private Officer Beat Radio. We'll be right back.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
Although we find ourselves in this unfortunate staffing crisis in which we are, the mere fact that you are willing to rejoin the team.
A major milestone for the Austin Police Department tonight as 14 retired officers once again take the oath. They will be joining the newly formed Reserve Officers Unit. CBS Austin's Paige Hubbard joins us live tonight with more on how these additional officers will help the department as it works to fill hundreds of vacancies. Paige?
Well, this is the first time the Austin Police Department has ever rolled out a reserve officer unit. So today is really of historical significance for the police department. And although these officers are no stranger to APD, they still had to undergo 60-plus hours of training before they were brought back with a warm welcome earlier today.
The staffing levels at APD are dire, and they're getting worse every day.
Austin Retired Officers Association President Dennis Ferris says, due to the Austin Police Department's ongoing staffing crisis, on-duty officers were being pulled off patrols to help out during special events.
We've got 6 days of ACL Fest coming up. If we didn't have these 14 officers and we didn't get all those positions filled, those are 14 patrol officers not answering calls 911, and we just had the story about the people that had to wait 3 hours for officers to come take their crash report because they were just simply overwhelmed.
To help fill the gaps, over a dozen honorably retired APD officers have been selected for a reserve officer unit. They will only aid APD at barricades during special events. This includes traffic control assignments.
Congratulations, very first reserve officer class.
During their swearing-in ceremony Friday, Interim Police Chief Robin Henderson beamed with excitement as she commended the officers' rededication to protect and serve.
Even in the midst of these challenging times that we find ourselves in, your rededication to law enforcement, your rededication to serving our Austin community, the rededication to your teammates. Thank you so much for stepping up in the time of need.
Auxiliary, reserve, or in some areas called supernumeraries, police officers. Some areas they are civilian with no law enforcement authority and unarmed. In other areas, these volunteer police officers are the same as any regular police officer, go through the same training, are armed, and have full police authority when on duty. LAPD and New York City Police both have very large contingencies of auxiliary and reserve police officers, but the big difference, and they're both huge cities as you know, but the big difference is New York City, they're unarmed with the exception of less lethal, and they have limited authority, while in California, reserve officers who complete the post academy, the police officer standard training academy, they often have full law enforcement authority, some on duty and some on or off duty, and carry all of the same tools as any law enforcement officer. I myself and many folks that I know who are in or have been in law enforcement got our beginnings with similar programs. I started off as a police explorer and then went in to become an auxiliary police officer, as did my brothers and my cousin. So that's how many people get involved in law enforcement. It gives them the opportunity to see what policing is all about, what the job duties, responsibilities, and everyday work is all about. They get to see really the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything else in between. Over the years, auxiliaries and supernumeraries or reserves have been used for everything from directing traffic at accidents to patrolling business areas to being a special events, you name it, and they have done it. Now, there was a time when many of the auxiliaries and reserves began to diminish after some communities did away with them because they thought they were a risk because they didn't have the academy training that full-time officers had. It was an insurance risk. Some insurance companies wouldn't even cover them when they were on duty. In 2013, according to the Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Statistics, there were about 30,000 unpaid reserve and auxiliary officers. In 2020, there was almost 40,000. Even though some departments eliminated them, others increased their manpower. They knew that it worked. I have several friends who are reserve officers in Tennessee, Florida, and Alabama, and they all love it. Some of them are accountants, attorneys, teachers, mechanics, and so on and so forth. Even though they're doing the same job as a paid officer, they're making a big difference in their community, so they love it. Right now, over the last 4 or 5 years, because of the decrease of full-time police officers, many police departments have reestablished their reserve and auxiliary units. They have varying degrees of use. Some agencies are using them as a second man in, meaning that they ride shotgun with a full-time on-duty officer, and they're carrying firearms as long as they qualify with them. Other departments use these unpaid officers as the eyes and ears, much like security, to patrol through the towns, business districts, shopping centers. They do some of the work of also community service officers. They sometimes write parking tickets. They respond and direct traffic at accident scenes. They even occasionally, as some departments, take incident reports and non-criminal activity response. But all in all, whether they are sworn law enforcement or unpaid, unsworn auxiliary slash reserve, they are filling in for all of the vacancies of the full-time officer. This is great. Communities should get involved with law enforcement. They should understand what policing is all about, what's going on behind the scenes, not just what they're seeing hyped up on some social media or news platform. However, the downside, of course, is just like having unarmed security officers put out in the field where dangerous situations definitely do happen, not from time to time, but more frequently than not, having someone out there unarmed and not completely trained and unable to defend themselves is really a recipe for disaster. On one hand, I am all for it, but on the other hand, it can be very sketchy and problematic and very dangerous. Of course, these volunteers, they know it. They are out there in the thick of things. Like I said, many ride with law enforcement, many respond to calls, and so they're not living a sheltered life by any means, but yes, good and bad, just like everything. And I think you're going to see more and more departments really bring back or start reserve and auxiliary programs that they never had before. Supervisors or owners of private security company, whether it's physical security, electronic security patrol, LP in a big box or specialty store. From now until the end of this year, you can advertise on the radio show absolutely free. If you are looking for people, all that you have to do is send your information, the position, the hours, you don't have to include the salary, but that would be helpful. The location, what city, what state. And we'll make these announcements every week totally free to help get you the people, the staffing that you need. It doesn't matter if you're a POI member or not. We have tens of thousands of listeners, and it's growing every year, and I'm just thrilled about that. So if you want to advertise your help wanted with us on the radio show, send that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And every week, we have one or two shows. We will announce that for you. It is an unfortunate situation that we're in right now that security officers are facing the same dangers as law enforcement, but they're seldom paid very well. They're definitely not paid what they're worth. I don't care if the guy has just a high school diploma these days. If he's working, he's putting his life on the line much more than somebody at a fast food drive-in or a retail store or other jobs. So I think, you know, they definitely need to be paid much more. Just this past week, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, announced $20 for fast food workers. If you work in fast food in the state of California, you're going to make 20 bucks right off the bat. 20 bucks. He didn't say that if you're a security officer, you're going to get paid 20 bucks. And maybe he did. I'm going to go back and read that, but my understanding is it was just for fast food. Although I know that many security companies in California already pay $20 plus, it's not unheard of in other states like Virginia and other D.C. and other areas. Many security officers are making probably the highest hourly wage that they've ever made in the history of private security. So, like I said a moment ago, this is the time of the year the time of your life to really grab a hold of this profession and realize it truly is a profession, and you definitely can make a difference. We just played that audio a moment ago about security patrolling in Raleigh. I don't know what that company is making, but Raleigh and that metropolitan area, like much of North Carolina, is growing. Wages are pretty steadily rising, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity whether you own or work at a private security or a private law enforcement agency. And we're going to talk about private police again here coming up in the next segment. You also heard the soundbite, the piece about the CSO, community service officers. And at the bottom of the show, we'll talk about all of that, as well as technology, and we'll bring it all together to show you how it can all be packaged by any private security company as one whole package, instead of just trying to sell them hourly static security or patrol. We can put a lot of different pieces together for them and make it a real sound security, not only package, but program for them. Remember that you can read our breaking news 24 hours a day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We don't post everything there. And if you want to see breaking news about a security officer being murdered or some other topic, or today's headlines or a special of the week, you won't find it there. You have to sign up for our newsletter, privateofficer.org, $50 a year. A little over $4 a month. I know that times are tight and tough, but believe me, it will be well worth it, not only for the information and news, but the discounted training and some of the other benefits that we include. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, to kind of, you know, spice up the deal, we even said we'd throw in a free training course if you signed up for the newsletter. We'll still offer that for the next little bit, so sign up for the newsletter. Also, we still have the Private Officer Memorial wristbands available. $20 will get you a wristband and a POI patch. It's really a great deal. Go on the privateofficer.org website and get that. All that you have to do is go to the Officer Down link and just donate $20 to the Benevolent Fund, and we will take care of that for you. All right, before I go to the next break, I want to tell you about a couple of training opportunities coming up from Armor College and Private Officer International. First of all, if you're in Virginia, North Carolina, or Alabama, in October, we have Less Lethal. This is going to be a two-day training event, de-escalation and certification in OC and CEWs, and we're also going to, during that time, go over some updated laws and de-escalation methods. Also, if you're in Virginia or Alabama in October, the O6E, which is the Special Conservator of the Peace, aka Law Enforcement Private Police Officer course, is being offered at two locations, Chesapeake, Virginia, and in Lynchburg, Virginia. And the O2E, the Private Investigator course, is being offered in those two locations as well. In October, contact Help Desk at Armour, armourcollege.org, for more information or to register. And we're going to be doing some other things during those classes as well. So if you live in Virginia, sign up today. If you live in Alabama, also in October, the Unarmed and Armed Security Officer, as well as the Investigator 1 classes, will be held in Alabama in several locations. Just contact Help Desk at armourcollege.org or give them a call, 804-290-4388. I better go get me some more coffee. I'm wide awake, but I got a long day ahead of me. I'm sure that you have as well. So we're going to take another quick break. When I come back, we're going to start putting all of these pieces to the puzzle about really providing a top-notch security program for most businesses.
Distracted driving is dangerous, but some people just can't seem to help themselves. There's the steering wheel proper, the sneak a peeker, the fast roller, the nightlighter. And it's not long until they become the fender benderer, the got a ticketer, the veering off the road, the driver who kills someone. Enough with the phones already. Just put them down.
Across America and here along the Gulf Coast in Baldwin and Mobile counties, more than 75% of all firefighters are volunteers. They spend their time helping others. Around the clock, many of our volunteers respond from home, from work, and from the fire station. But just like businesses all around the country, it's becoming more and more difficult to recruit firefighters. If you want to truly help your community and make a difference, I encourage you to reach out to your local volunteer fire department here along the Gulf Coast or anywhere in the country and volunteer your time today. Unlike 20 or 30 years ago, volunteer firefighters are professional firefighters, professionally trained firefighters, and many times EMTs and paramedics. Please help your community, donate some of your time, and you'll not only make a difference, but you'll feel good about it. I know. I've been a volunteer firefighter, EMT paramedic, and law enforcement most of my life. Please reach out today, and thank you.
For the last several years, I've talked about the use of layered security. And this is something that many companies have really gotten into. It's not just depending on physical security alone or electronic security or surveillance cameras, but there are multiple layers that companies are using to protect their assets, their people, and their visitors, and their campus, and business at large, really. If it sounds familiar, it's actually what the police have done, the military has done, for many years. Many police departments not only have physical officers out there, but they use technology, cameras, surveillance. I have probably talked about the layering and the use of physical officers, technology, cameras, drones, real-time crime centers. I've been talking about this now for quite a while. I've come across a couple of security companies who have begun marketing some of these tools as an all-encompass package of security services, not just putting a body on a property, but being able to bring in other technology. Now, I will confess that I have owned an alarm business for quite a few years previously, and a physical security company where we did use a combination of physical security patrols and camera surveillance. Some of these low-income housing authorities, as well as upper-scale communities, gated communities, and businesses, we were able to couple physical and electronic security to show that we could provide a layered security program. One security officer patrolling a property, whether that be a mall or a business complex or a hotel, cannot cover the entire area alone, especially today as more and more businesses are really expanding their properties, and, you know, hotels are campuses, Many businesses have campuses. Capital One in Northern Virginia is larger than some college campuses, with multiple high-rises and multiple buildings. And there are a number of other businesses across the country. You can look at Apple, you can look at Google, you can look at many of these companies, Amazon. They have huge properties, huge distribution centers, huge HQs, a lot of territory to cover whether you have five security officers or one or even 20. We can't be everywhere all the time. If it sounds familiar, it's what the police have said forever. You can't be everywhere. We can't have a cop on every corner. It's impossible. But if you take physical security, whether that be armed or unarmed, and you couple it with today's technology, I mentioned a couple of months ago when I was talking about a similar topic that there are several companies, one in particular that I'm thinking of, that uses mini drones to fly throughout a distribution center or warehouse and the offices while the security officer monitors the camera on the drone. Of course, it's recording all the way. And this way, one security officer can cover an entire complex. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of square feet it is, but I know that it's very large. But he can do it from the comfort of his office. He can monitor other cameras while all of this is taking place. There's nothing wrong with coupling technology with physical security. And I've also mentioned this a few times. I'm not a big proponent of robots, but they have their place. If you take a robot or two robots or five robots and you combine them with physical security, a command station that's keeping track of these robot cameras, physical security who's out on patrol, and these robots feeding back the surveillance and letting you know what's happening, it works. If you're just going to put a mechanical machine out there to take the place of physical security, it's not going to work, and it shouldn't work, because now you're allowing this AI advanced technology robot to do all the thinking, to do all the work. And yes, they do get quite a few things right, but they also get quite a few things wrong. No one can see, hear, do as much as a physical being or my former partner, the dog, who really was a fantastic partner. He could hear everything long before I could. He could see things way much better. He just knew when trouble was about to happen long before I did. But technology has come a long way, and we need to use it along with physical security. Electronic surveillance, as I've mentioned maybe a half a dozen times in the last year, maybe a little bit more, is being used now more than ever. Surveillance cameras coupled with technology such as license plate readers, facial recognition, AI, gun detection, and other technology all put together in what's called the real-time crime centers across the country. Cities, big and small, are putting those together, and so are some private companies. There's a couple of private companies, and we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming months as I get into that area of protection myself. But there are many, many police departments and surveillance rooms who are doing nothing but watching live feed cameras while their police agencies are suffering severely from not having enough staff. These cameras become the eyes and ears because they're sending back live video to analysts in the room, investigators in the room 24/7, and they're able to detect what's going on, dispatch those police officers to the area, and feed them real live feeds of what's going on into their vehicle data, into their computers, so the officer en route can even see how many people's involved, what's going on, and where they are on the property. Security officers in some companies use this as well. There's a couple of companies in California, one in Florida, and one in the Chicago area that I'm familiar with over the last 2 years, they have live feeds coming in right into their patrol car, alarms that get triggered into their central station or their dispatch station, so they're able to immediately alert the security officers on patrol of a break-in, an alarm that's been activated, or a crime in progress, and even feed them real-time live video. There's a couple of software programs that also allow this type of surveillance in schools, where not only SROs, but also police officers responding to a fight, an active shooter incident, or other crimes at schools, they automatically get the live feed surveillance being fed onto their police car video so that they can see what's happening and where it's happening, which helps them to be more efficient when they arrive on the scene. They're able to get to that location quicker and know what's happening, and it's really a godsend. Technology and physical officers combined, you cannot beat it. I personally really like drones. I think they have more than enough activity throughout the security field to be used more often than they are. Some companies do use drones for special events, concerts outdoor. I recently read one where they had a drone up during a wedding, an outdoor wedding, because they had a threat, a possible situation happening, so they put the drone up and somebody was monitoring it. Police departments that are small, medium, and large all have drone operators now. NYPD has like 5 or 6. I just mentioned a couple of radio shows ago that several police departments pooled their money together, local police departments, next door, neighboring departments, and they operate drones between them. Drones are very effective not only to search for missing persons or suspects who have escaped on foot, but also to find evidence, to surveil areas that might be having a problem long before the officer goes in. They send the drone up, and there's a police department in California who has used it over and over again during 911 call. They send the drone to the area. The drone monitors, sends back live video so the officer knows what's happening, and they know whether or not to send more police officers or if it's a setup or there's nothing going on at all. It helps to allocate their resources, especially in this day and time when staffing is just, well, really in bad shape. I mentioned to a friend of mine over the weekend that Virginia is suffering, even though that they've graduated several police academies in the larger areas. Many departments still have 100, 200, 300 officers short, and you're only going to see this worsen. That's why they're using, police departments are using technology. They're bringing back auxiliaries and reserves, or starting an auxiliary or reserve program. Dozens and dozens, I would dare say hundreds of agencies across the country have either begun using community service officers, CSOs, or have been using them over the last 3 or 4 years. I know in a couple of communities where I live and work, all of those agencies have had CSOs for at least 3 or 4 years, but they've expanded them substantially. They've also, in some cases, expanded the role, the type of calls that they go on. I discussed last week when we were talking about quality of life issues. Many CSOs investigate litter. They go to non-injury, litter violations, that is. They go to non-injury accidents. They take parking enforcement actions. They go to crime and accident scenes as a second officer. They direct traffic. They do non-injury accident investigations. Some of them are qualified in the mental health arena, and they go to those calls as well. And many police departments are using them for general patrol, just to put some visibility in communities and to fill in the gaps that police officers have left open. I do think that things are gaining speed in these areas because our association, Private Officer International, monitors more than 3,000 news sites every day. not every week or month, but every day, we see a lot of topics. We see a lot of news, and we gather a lot of that information. And we're seeing more and more police departments and more security departments interact. A lot of police departments no longer patrol school grounds. They no longer patrol parks. They no longer patrol some city buildings. And, you know, this is all being put on the shoulders of physical security officers. And so you're going to see more police and more security interact and work as one. I've mentioned over and over again that loss prevention and law enforcement has done this for many years. I worked in LP for about 10 years. I've mentioned this a number of times, even made my way up the ladder to management. We worked very well with police. We've done undercover stings. We've done surveillance, even on employees suspected of theft. In my own security businesses, I've never had a problem working with law enforcement, and that's really because of the professionalism that we bring, the experience that we have, and we've been able to work pretty well, almost, I'm not going to say 100%, but close to it. Physical security, technology, including electronic security surveillance, AI, LPRs, license plate readers, robots, drones, and real-time crime sensors are all part of the layering of physical security. More and more cities are hiring private security to patrol the downtown area, the business area, the schools, the parks, and many public places. If we can bring some of this technology that they don't have, because let's face it, many police departments in many cities, especially if they're smaller or medium size, they cannot afford to have a real-time crime center. They cannot afford the electronic security technology, the camera systems. That's why they often ask that people who have door cameras or surveillance video, please send it to them, because it helps sometimes to solve crimes, especially when these towns don't have their own surveillance cameras in the high crime areas or the high traffic areas. Working together, law enforcement and security, is a thing, and it's going to become a bigger thing, and you need to be ready. Are you ready? Is your company ready? Do you have the technology? Do you have the training? Do you have the experience necessary for the technology part of it? You really need to start thinking, if you're an owner or a manager, about hiring someone who is very tech-savvy in electronic security, in electronic surveillance and cameras and drones and robots. Put that person in charge of expanding just those services, and you're going to be able not only to grow and escalate your company, but also to provide a type of service that many security companies or even some law enforcement agencies do not have. I just read, in closing, an article last week about a town that is renting equipment, camera equipment, radar equipment actually, radar trailers to catch speeders because there's such a problem in their town. They only have a couple of radar guns, so they're putting radar trailers in the area that's capturing and taking pictures of the vehicle speeding, photo speeding, and then sending these drivers tickets in the mail. Many places have those type of cameras on poles and on the interstate and on bridges and so forth, but smaller towns are renting out this technology, renting from other companies, from private companies. We too can go in and rent them our technology, whether that be robot for a day or a drone for a month, or bringing in real-time crime centers to their area. And I think it's a win-win for us and for them, but moreover, the community at large. That's going to do it for this episode, but if you do want more information on layering security, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Until the next time, y'all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.